But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You will never figure out God. Everyone who tries loses. The only way you can know God is by receiving His revelation. One of the greatest sins of the church in America is these people that come up with a vision statement. I have a vision. Well, good for you. Your vision and my vision and everybody else's vision in the whole world added together amounts to nothing. The flesh profits for nothing. The only way we will ever know anything is through revelation. God needs to reveal it. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Today I want to focus in on that 13th verse. This we speak not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. There is a lie. It was started when I was in seminary. It predates that. It goes back to the 60s, but it really gained ground in the 70s and in the 80s. And it has grown now to where it is accepted wisdom. And that is, as long as you haven't changed the heart of the gospel, if you express it in a different way, in a different form, using different words, it's okay. Because it's only the message that matters, not the packaging. And I don't know if you've heard it expressed exactly that way, but that's how pastors who are preaching in churches today have been trained, and that's how they are training their people. So if you want to make up new words to contain the gospel, feel perfectly free, because the words don't matter, only the truth behind the words. It is a lie. The Bible says we must speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, if we must express spiritual truths in spiritual words, what is the implication? If there are spiritual words to express spiritual truths, then there are also what? Unspiritual words that we must avoid. Is that not true? Today I want to start and I want to talk about some unspiritual words that are commonly used today. And I want to start with one that I've heard from the lips of some of us right here. And especially I've heard you expressing what people are saying to you, and they need to be confronted. If they call themselves Christians, they need to be confronted that what they are experiencing is not the truth. Let me talk about the first and one of the biggest unspiritual words that is disguising spiritual truth, and that is the word unchurched. Unchurched. Today we are told that the problem with people is that they are unchurched, and that the unchurched need to be reached for church and gotten into the church. We need to get the unchurched churched. First of all, that is an utterly unbiblical word and an unbiblical concept. The Bible knows nothing of unchurched people. The problem is not, you see, words have consequences. If the problem is that people are unchurched, then what's the solution? All you got to do is get them into church. All you got to do is get them into church. And so the goal has become to get the unchurched into the church. Now, that's somewhat easy to do in America today if you have enough money. A friend of mine, part of a denomination, we all know who I'm talking about. The denomination is now pouring in six figures into redoing because they want to reach the unchurched. The problem is not getting people into church. In fact, one of the most churched people in the Bible, you can read about him in John chapter 3, was a man named Nicodemus. He was utterly churched. You couldn't be more churched than he was. Not only was he the equivalent of a pastor today, but he spent his life in church. He was in church every day. He prayed in church 5 times a day. He met in church on a daily basis. He taught in the church on a daily basis. He spent his entire Sabbath at the church. He didn't come for an hour. He was there when the sun rose, and he was probably there when the sun went down. But Jesus said to that man, "You personally must be born again." And he said, "What do you mean?" And Jesus said, "You can't even understand that. You are a churched person, and you can't understand that you must be born again? Are you kidding me?" He reiterated for the second time, John 3, and then again John 5, and then again John 7, "You must be born again." You see, there are biblical terms for what a person who today is being called unchurched should be called. They are evocative terms that tell us exactly their condition. It is not merely a matter of organization, it is a matter of life and death. The first word is the word lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible is absolutely clear. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Person who is not saved or found is not unchurched. They are lost. Oh, that's pejorative. No, that's descriptive. What does it mean to be lost? Well, there are several conditions about being lost. First of all, the lost person doesn't know where they are. Oh, what an evocative thought. The lost person thinks they're fine with God. They think them and God, they're just like this. Talk to people today. "Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I have a relationship. I pray every day." The lost person doesn't know where they are. They don't understand Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, that they are enemies of God. That they are personally a personal enemy of God. Because they're lost. They don't know where they are. Now, it's so much nicer to say to someone, "Oh, you're unchurched. Won't you just come out to church? And then everything will be fine. You won't be unchurched anymore." You realize how many people that are churched will be in hell? Jesus said, the majority will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all kinds of things for you? This isn't the pagans, the hell's angels. This isn't Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner won't be able to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many things for you? These are people who were churched. And Jesus will say of them, I never knew you. They're lost. They don't know where they're going. The second thing about a lost person is, not only do they not know where they're going, they don't know, number one, they don't know where they are. Number two, not only do they not know where they are, they don't know where they're going. Jesus said, broad is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And many go in that way, but narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. I know people that say things, well, I'm not a Christian like your pastor preaches. You're not a Christian. You're lost. You don't know where you are, and you don't know where you're going. That's why Jesus, John 14, 6, said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Second of all, the Bible doesn't say people are unchurched. They say they are unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, a church that was struggling and couldn't tell up from down and back from forward and right from wrong, a church that was struggling with a lot of things, Paul writes and says, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers. Has blinded the mind of unbelievers. Now, we have many people today who say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But we have not differentiated between true belief and false belief. Look at what Paul says a little later in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 15, 2. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. There is vain belief. The kind of belief that saves is an obedient belief. In fact, so much that is true, so that the Bible uses the words obey and believe interchangeably. The Bible talks about believe the gospel. It also talks about obey the gospel. It uses the two words interchangeably. We have many times been through the Gospel of John about the types of faith that do not save. John chapter 2 and the beginning of the end of John 2 and the beginning of John 3. Sight faith doesn't save because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. John chapter 6. Selfish faith doesn't save. John chapter 8. Disobedient faith doesn't save. So the Bible uses the phrase unbelievers. Again, it is not politically correct to call someone an unbeliever. Oh, it's perfectly acceptable to say they're unchurched. Well, of course I'm unchurched. I think church is a waste of time. You see, that's unoffensive, but the gospel offends. Spiritual words offend. lost, unbelievers. Number three, the saved and the unsaved. We have before us 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. By this gospel you are saved. And everyone who is not saved is unsaved. Saved is a provocative word. It is a man washed overboard. We were talking while we were on vacation. We were down in Charleston, South Carolina. We visited the USS Yorktown, a ship that was built to replace the first Yorktown sunk at the Battle of Midway. Beside it was one of the beside the giant aircraft carrier was one of the destroyers that was part of its battle group, the USS Alaska. World War II destroyer. We went on board that and toured that very extensively because Kathy's father served on a destroyer very much like it. When he was on that destroyer, there was a great storm. And one of the men was trying to traverse the length of the ship on the outside, and a wave came up and whoosh, he was washed over and disappeared. He was gone. And they searched for him. They did a search pattern. They tried to find him, but he was unsaved. Oh, they tried to save him. You see, that's the term unsaved. A person who is in perilous danger and in need of someone to rescue them immediately. That's why Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not churched. Saved. And the problem in America today is not that we have 200 million unchurched people, but that we have 250, 260, 270, 280, 290 million unsaved people. Number four, now we're getting a little hotter. A word that no one ever uses today. We have washed it from the lexicon of the Christian church. Well, the church. I don't know how Christian we are anymore. We have washed it from the lexicon of the church in America. It is never used, never issued, never uttered. It is being expunged from the hymns. It is being taken away. Have you sung the song Amazing Grace anymore? When it was written by a man who knew what it was to be lost and saved, John Newton, he wrote, Amazing Grace that saved such a wretch is one term that's used, but the term he used was worm. You know what it's now in the modern hymnal? That saved such a one. Number four, the Bible calls those who are lost sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying, 1 Timothy 1:15, that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save unchurched sinners, people who have offended God, people who have rebelled, transgressed, broken, cast off the law of God and live how they want to live. And because of that, are in grievous danger because they have offended the king, and his wrath will not long sleep. Well, I've lived 50 years and nothing bad's ever happened to me. That's great. Just keep it up. You don't have another 50 to go. Well, that seems like a long time. Let's have that discussion in a million years, because both of us will still exist a million years from today. Sinners. We've only scratched the surface of this, and next week we will pick it up again. But here is my closing. We lie to people all the time. A program that we used to use, and I'll name it because it does it, and it's wrong, EE. And there were some very good things about EE, but there was a tremendous lie in EE. And here was the lie. The lie said, you can preach the gospel without offending people. You see, that's what unchurched is all about. We don't want to offend anyone. The Bible says the gospel is offensive. We're going to go back to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man does not receive the things that come from the Spirit of God. He cannot understand them. The foolishness to him. How do you know you're saved? When suddenly you go from all that gospel stuff and being in love with Jesus and giving your whole life to Him, sounds like a bunch of foolishness, to it's the only thing that matters. I don't know if you've ever sat in a room with a person that literally in 10 minutes their whole worldview turned upside down, and they'll look at you and go, how could I have been so wrong? They've gone from darkness to light, from blindness. If you've never done that, then you need to be witnessing, because you need to experience seeing a person do exactly that. And you know, in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of people that get upset because they don't want to be told they're lost. They're willing to be told they're unchurched. Just invite them to church. That's the answer. No, it's not. They're lost. They're unbelievers. They're unsaved. We cannot wash that away by coming up with some unspiritual word to replace biblical truth. All we're doing is being a doctor who lies to his patient. It's okay. That little lump, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, you're in a lot of pain. Let me give you some painkillers. And the church in America today is telling people that that lump doesn't mean a thing. Here's a painkiller. Let's sing another praise chorus and you'll feel good. While the cancer grows and brings them to death. Words matter. And we've changed the words. And we've changed the truth into a lie. And it's time that we take back the truth and stand on the truth. And if the world hates us, remember it hated Jesus first. But Jesus didn't say, just kidding, folks. I didn't know you were going to get so mad. If I thought you were going to nail me to the cross, can't we just agree on you're unchurched? I'll start a church and get you into church and we'll all be okay. This week, I want you to listen very closely to the so-called Christians you know. Ask them questions. See if you don't hear that word pop out of their mouth. And when it does, be ready to give the truth, because they've been lied and they're being deceived. And it's time that the people of God stand up, speaking spiritual truths and spiritual words.